Okay.
All right. Well, welcome everybody. CoreLight's Spiritual Weather Report call for February 2019. And this is Brad, and I'm really happy to be here with you. And as always, it's just so wonderful to hear your voices. And most of you I know, and we have some new people with us today as well. And wow, what a time, huh? It's just been so incredibly intense. The density of Earth is very extreme at the moment. What I would call the forces of chaos and destruction are battling still, as we talked last time, with the forces of regeneration and creativity. And as they battle, we feel sometimes caught in the middle. So I hope everybody's staying on your surfboards okay. I know it's not easy right now. We've heard from a number of people this past month who are really struggling. So we're going to talk about this more later on in the call. I guess before we kind of dive into the call, I also want to mention we have a special guest speaker with us today. Many of you know her. Her name is Ali Drummond from South Africa. And I just spent some time with Ali. And she has a remarkable story to tell. She was diagnosed couple of years ago with stage 4 bone cancer, and that's not something anybody recovers from, but she performed a miracle was performed. She performed it, or somebody did, but she's still not out of the woods 100%, but I'd like her to share her story with us because it's such a profound story. So I was visiting with Ali and our friend Anna Breitenbach, who live here in South Africa in the Cape. And anyway, I'll share more about all that later. Right now, I wanted to mention I'm actually not at home here in South Africa. I'm at a hotel in Johannesburg. I'm on my way home to Blader River Canyon. And Leslie is there. Leslie's at home now at Blader River, listening to the call. Leslie's she's on the web call, so she won't speak to us, but she can hear everything we're saying. And as you know, if you've been on these calls before, Leslie will remain in silence, and she'll give a transmission during the call, transmission of healing energy, Shakti. I asked Leslie if she had a personal update that she wanted to share with everybody today. And she said, "I send my love to everybody. Please let them know that I'm in a very peaceful internal state. I'm in a quiet field that is smooth and wide open to the heavens." So you'll be able to feel that state if you can tune in during the call. We invite you to be meditative throughout the call and receive Leslie's transmission. And whether you're with us live today or you're listening to this recording later, it doesn't matter. We are all part of the field and we're all connected. And I think, as most of us know, time and space don't really exist except in the third dimension anyway. So we're inviting everyone to tune in to these other levels of reality beyond time and space, where we're all connected in the unity and in love. So we'll all receive this transmission of light that's coming through during the call. It's a field that we're all participating in and that we're generating together, whether or not you're with us live. And so what we suggest is to just go yin. Yin being the receptive, passive state, and just allow, whether we're having a conversation or not, and then you'll be receiving during this entire call. So I have to confess, I picked up a little bit of a flu bug a few days ago, and you might hear a tickle in my throat. And occasional coughing. So I've asked Barbara to lead us in our guided meditation today. And Barbara, I'm deeply grateful to you for all your love and support always, and we're really looking forward to the meditation.
Wonderful, Brad. Thank you, and I'm glad you're on the mend. I know that these are extremely challenging times for so many of us, and let's take a moment and let's all connect in with the field that Leslie is sharing with us all today, that deep and peaceful and abiding space with all the chaos that is surrounding us at this time. It reminds me of the painting that Leslie talked about, The Storm, where the artist strapped himself to the mast to stay grounded and centered. Very important for all of us. I was guided to do this grounding and centering meditation today from my own higher self. And we are going to call on and connect with each of our higher selves today. It seems very important during these times, especially to make space and make room for our high self. So let's get into our meditative posture. Be sure to align your spine. Take a nice, slow inhale through the nose. Allow your chest and your belly to fill and hold for a moment, and then release that breath. And let's take another. And as we do so, feel our higher selves stepping forward and filling up this space, this breath, this chi, this life force. Take one more slow inhale through the nose. Deep into the belly and hold, pressing down on the diaphragm, allowing the lungs their full capacity. And maybe even perhaps feeling or imagining what it would feel like to have our high self step fully forward. And let's bring our awareness all along the Shishumna, the core light, from crown to root. And let's allow our high self to lead us into this grounding and centering. Feel our root chakra, which rests between the anus and the genitals on the floor of the pelvis, the perineum, allowing our awareness to come to that place, that root chakra place, and open. And feel our energy spiraling down our grounding cord through the crust of the earth. And as we come to the center of the earth and our way of grounding and centering in that core, notice that Mother Earth is walking towards us in this beautiful, billowy, turquoise, blue, and green flowing, I won't even say that it's robes, it's kind of like a luminescent light wafting in the air. And she's beckoning us to come forward. So each of our higher selves is connecting with our beautiful Mother Earth, and she wants to bring us to the edge of the ocean. And as we stand there, there is a wrinkle in time. As we look at the sky and there's an opening, a portal. And she is beckoning us forward to look through this portal into the new earth. She's calling us forward to let go of our grounding and centering in the old 3D chaotic dimension, and calling us forward into this new earth that is filled with so much light. We notice as we walk through this portal into this new fifth dimensional space that all senses are heightened. The colors, the sounds, the feel, even the taste of the air, and the knowingness, so familiar, so welcoming. We can breathe again. And let's allow our grounding cord to travel through this portal into the new fifth dimensional earth. And as we connect and ground into this new earth, see the sparkles of diamond light that is showering the new earth. And allow ourselves to stand amidst this shower. Perhaps even seeing the lion and the lamb lying down together, feeling that energetic, unconditional love that's being expressed in this new earth. Allow it to calm us, to soothe those frayed nerve endings. And as Mother Earth, in all her beauty and glory, surrounds us in this turquoise blue, veils of love and light, welcoming us into this new earth. And then allow Mother Earth's energy and our high self energy begin to travel back up through the root chakra, through each of the chakras, showering each with this diamond light, filling us and soothing us as it travels up into the heart chakra. And see if it would be okay to allow our heart chakras to break open in this exquisitely beautiful, unconditional love of this new earth. And let's let this energy continue to move up through the throat and through the third eye and back into the cave of Brahman. Just feel this energy wafting through. It's a different vibratory frequency that our bodies are resonating with and adjusting to. So many shifts and changes as this new energy and influx of love and light continues to shower us. And as we sit in the stillness of the cave of Brahman, notice the sparkling diamonds that begin to glow and shine and fill this cave of Brahman full of light. The whole inside of our heads filled with love and light. And as it fills to overflowing, feel the crown chakra opening. And feel the shower of diamond light coming from up above as well as from Mother Earth. And feel our awareness moving into the center of the galaxy in a breath, expanding out into the universe, perhaps traveling through the home star, as we expand out into this universe, and perhaps for the first time, being aware that there are multiple universes, and we are like beads of light traveling on strands of this magnificent web, all interconnecting with multiple universes and multiple dimensions. Allow your awareness to expand out as fully and gently as is comfortable for you. Let yourself be rejuvenated and replenished. As we've gone through so much in a really relative short period of time, let yourselves rest in this diamond crystalline light that is bathing each and every one of us, and feel our interconnectedness as we travel back down, still interconnected with the heart of the universe, as well as Mother Earth and our own high self energy, allowing our high self to take the lead, to step forward, to show us the way, to be in the present moment. And as we come back into the body, bring your awareness into your heart chakra. And as this diamond crystalline light floods over, around, and through, let it fill this center of the circle that we are all standing around, this wonderful container that we are all holding hands and surrounding. Let our love and our light pour into this receptacle. And as we hold hands, feel our interconnectedness. No longer are we being asked or meant to walk this pathway alone. We can now feel on a conscious level our interconnectedness. Be in that peace field that Leslie shared with Brad. Rest. It's been a long journey. And as we continue to go through so many changes, we are surrounded in love and light, and we are no longer the lone wolf, but a part of unity consciousness. So just allow that love and grace to permeate every cell of each of our beings. Let the diamond light shine and fall and surround and swirl us in interconnectedness. This journey that has been a solo journey for so long now becomes, on a very conscious level, fully and totally interconnected. And let's stay with that sense of interconnectedness. Feel the vibratory frequencies being given and received in this circle. And continue to call on our high selves, all our teachers and guides, to continue to show us the way. So, coming back into our own heart center, staying very connected with each other and staying in this space, we begin our spiritual weather report call for today. So perhaps you might want to wiggle your fingers and your toes. Take another nice deep breath in through the nose, out through the mouth. Maybe wiggle, shrug your shoulders, move your head a little bit. And welcome everyone into this exquisitely beautiful space of the new earth. So thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Beautiful.
You're welcome.
I got accidentally dropped from the call there in the middle of your meditation, so I didn't hear all of it. But what I did, yeah, but I called back in, and what I did hear was just magnificent.
Oh, thank you,
thank
Brad.
You so much. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, before we dive into our call, I wanted to just mention a few things. I have a few hold the dates details to give you about some upcoming events. Our friend Anna Breitenbach, who I know many of you know of, she's going to be offering an event Saturday, April 27th at 9 a.m. Pacific time. And that's a virtual, you know, it's a phone bridge call, or it might be a video call. We'll be sending the details out through CoreLight. The details are to be announced. If you don't know of Anna, she's an extraordinary animal communicator. And if you don't know of her, or if you haven't seen her YouTube video, do yourself a favor and go to YouTube and search for Anna Spirit the Black Leopard. And you'll see a video comes up, a short video that's got about 7 million hits. And it's just one of the most extraordinary little films that you'll ever see about animal communication. But she's just a dear friend and a colleague of ours. And I don't know for certain what the event will be about. One thing we do know for sure is that she's going to be sharing messages that she's been receiving from the oversouls of various species about the state of the earth and what we can do to make a difference right now for the earth. You may have heard that Anna's been on a healing journey for a few years. She's had a miracle, actually, a miracle healing. She had an illness that was considered to be fatal, two fatal illnesses, and she recovered from those. So she's not 100% back, but she is coming back and starting to work again. And like Leslie, her body gets used to process karmas and collective shadow and so forth. So I know that that's a lot of what she's been going through, and she'll be talking about that as well. In any case, I'm letting you know about it because this event is going to be a fundraiser that we support her with to help her get back on her feet again and started after a few years of not working. Our dear friend Victoria, who most of you know, is going to be organizing it. And I think it's going to be $100. So it'll be like an intensive. And just to be clear, this is not the event that I'm going to be leading with Anna that I announced last month. She and I are going to offer a course called For the Love of Animals. And that course, the details will be announced later. But meanwhile, I just wanted you to be aware that Saturday, April 27th at 9 a.m. Pacific time, if you want to mark that in your calendar, it's going to be an extraordinary event. It'll be her first event, really, her first public event for several years. And if you've ever had ever attended an event with her, they're pretty remarkable. So I highly recommend it. I hope you'll join us. Also, I wanted to let you know, as I mentioned last time, I've been invited to offer events in Portland, Oregon, and we've fixed the dates. I'll do two weekends of events. The first one will be July 12th through 14th, and that's going to be an intensive weekend at the Unity of Portland Church. The title of the event is going to be Alchemy of the Heart, Balancing the Divine Feminine and Masculine Within. And then also July 26th through 28th, so two weekends later, I'll do a retreat with Lina Burnson and Catherine Witteman. And that'll be a really fun thing. We're not sure exactly what we're going to do yet, but Catherine leads therapeutic art, and Lina is a channel, very, very clear channel. So it promises to be fun and exciting. I hope you'll join us. Also, details of all these things will be announced, by the way. I'm just giving you the dates. I've also been invited to offer events in Boulder, Colorado, and in Albany, New York. or at least in those areas. We're not 100% sure yet. Nothing's been formed. We don't know exactly when or where the events will be, but Boulder will possibly be the second half of June or the first half of August, and Albany will likely be the second half of August. I'm also, I think I've mentioned to you, there's a sacred site journey in the UK in May, which has just filled up. So I will be in London at the end of May. So I suppose it's possible that some kind of event may manifest in Europe for the first half of June. I'm not sure yet. The Egypt retreat in November is full as well. But there's still spaces available for the Greece retreat in September, and that's Restoring the Power of the Feminine, which is an Earth Treasure Vase pilgrimage to Crete with Cynthia Jurs, and that's September 8th through 24th. And lastly, I just also wanted to mention Barbara is going to be offering a course through Core Light. It's going to be on the subject of the Divine Feminine, and we're not 100% sure of the details yet. We don't know when it will be, but sometime this year. Barbara, do you want to say a quick word about your course?
Well, hopefully sooner than later. I'm very excited about it. A lot of information is coming through, getting downloaded, and I was really guided strongly to look at and talk about embracing the Divine Feminine that is really coming through so strongly this year. So I'm very excited about it and looking forward to sharing all that is wanting to come through for all of us right now. So thank you, Brad, and hopefully relatively soon we'll have definitive dates for when that will happen.
Well, Barbara, thank you for offering the course for Core Light. I'm really looking forward to seeing what you put together. I know it's going to be powerful.
Thank you. Me too.
Okay, and that is a virtual course, by the way, so you can join from anywhere in the world.
Yes.
Oh, and then the other thing I should just mention, I didn't tell you, my book, Living with Enlightenment, A Journey of Love, is very, very close to being ready now. The interior is finished and the cover is almost finished. And so we'll be announcing sometime soon about the book being available. So you can be on the lookout. All of these things will be announced by email. Okay, so let's talk about our topic for today. As I was saying before, the density is so intense right now. Earth's density is really thicker than we've felt in a long time. And as I was saying, the forces of chaos and destruction are battling with the forces of regeneration and creativity. And it really makes you feel a little bit like you're in a washing machine. And we've heard from a number of people in the past month. Some of you, I don't think they're not on the call today, but several people are going through some of the biggest challenges of their lives. Very, very intense pain, extreme fear and negative thought patterns arising, even suicidal thoughts. And so, you know, just a reminder that when these things come up during times like this, it's a great opportunity to review them and then release them and let them go. I know for many of us, things have not been that intense this past month. And if you're not in such extremis, then you can give thanks for that, because I know the people who are really going through the most challenging time of their lives. For many of us, it's much more of a time of using these energies, these prevailing, accelerating, intense energies to ignite creativity within us, to ignite our passions, to propel us forward into new growth. And I know last month we talked a little bit about the proverbial artist facing the blank canvas. So it's still sort of that energy, it's that feeling where, you know, we have this sense of excitement and our passions come forward, a sense of creativity comes forward. We don't know what's going to happen, but we can feel that so much is possible. There's great potential. And yet there's also the trepidation. There's worry and fear about what, you know, what the unknown holds. And we tend to project onto that. The ego will project its negative patterns onto that. So again, these are all patterns that are arising for review and release. And I wanted to share just a really brief personal experience. I'm just going to have a sip of water real quick. Sorry, just give me a sec. Excuse me. I wanted to share a little personal experience about this flu bug that I picked up. It was so extreme. I've never had a flu like this. It was so painful that I was actually moaning and groaning. I felt so embarrassed. I was at my friend Allie's house in the Cape. Allie, who's going to be our guest speaker in a few minutes. And I was just moaning and groaning for the better part of a day because the headache and the fever were so intense. I couldn't believe it. I'd never had a flu like that. So what happened for me was I've been through painful experiences before, and what I remember is meditating on the pain. And so I practiced, this became a practice for me to meditate on the pain and continually reminding myself that this too shall pass, using a mantra, I'm not this pain, I am the pure awareness. The pain and the negativity is passing through me. And I was very clear when this was happening, as I was in the previous times that it happened long ago, that I was clearing something, that actually this was a very necessary experience, that something was leaving and that I needed to be laid out like this in order for this kind of an upgrade, if you want to call it that, to happen. I got a very clear inner message that this was an answer to my prayers for awakening, and that there was a certain healing that was happening and a rewiring. To get through it, I remember having to focus as much as I possibly could on things to be grateful for, because when you're in that kind of pain, or if you're deep in a negative pattern and it's hard to get out, it's essential to try to find something that you're grateful for and to try to find some way to love yourself through it. I remembered, I was reminding myself throughout the experience that whenever I've gone through painful experiences, I always come out the other side feeling so much better. And I can always see in retrospect then why I needed that experience and how it was a gift and an opportunity in some way. So this was my practice as I was lying in bed moaning. Excuse me. It only hurts when I laugh. And so anyway, I wanted to share this experience because I feel it ties into our theme for the month. You may not be experiencing a physical illness. This may not be hitting you in the body. It might be hitting you in some other way in your life. And again, you might be one of the really fortunate ones who's just not experiencing this at all. You might be experiencing the other side of it, where the regeneration and creativity are really propelling you forward in a very positive way. But my experience of this past month has been both. And so I just wanted to share the negative experience with you. Let's call it negative. It's not really negative. It's an experience of pain, neither being positive or negative. I guess it feels to me like, because I know of the number of people who contacted us to say they were having suicidal thoughts, and it was just so unbearably painful, that I thought I would share my own experience of it. This is obviously a milder version. That's also one of the reasons that I invited Ali to speak with us today. Because as I mentioned before, Ali was diagnosed a couple of years ago with stage 4 bone cancer. And as most of you know, that's really not something that you heal from. And her doctors had told her to get her affairs in order and to make her peace with her life. And she proved them all wrong. And she has an amazing story to tell about this. So I'm not going to tell it for her. I'd like her to tell it. And now we need to, Barbara, we need to find a way to unmute Allie. Can you see her on there somewhere? Barbara, you're muted.
Yes, I've unmuted Allie. Allie, you are unmuted.
Oh, okay. Great. Allie, are you there with us?
Hello, hi.
Hi, welcome.
Hello, Brother B, Brad, and hi, Barbara. Hi, Leslie, dearest.
It's wonderful to have you with us, Allie. You're breaking up just a little bit, so let's do the best we can. Allie lives in a remote part of the Garden Route in the Cape in South Africa. I hope we can hear you okay as you tell your story, Allie. Please do share with us more.
Well, first of all, Brad, it's good to hear you and hear you a bit more back on form after seeing you in that experience. You went from radical aliveness and wellness to just wiped out the next morning. It was very sudden, your process.
Yeah, I'm feeling much better now. Thank you. Thanks for taking such good care of me, both you and Anna.
No, it was a pleasure to support you. It really was. So, yeah, okay. Gosh, where do I start? I want to be succinct and share the things that may be beneficial. And I know the line is going on and off a bit here too, Brad. So, If you're not able to hear, just say and stop, and I'll either slow down or see what we can do.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, it's probably helpful just in terms of my background. I've been studying with Core Light for 10 years and did the spiritual warrior training with much zest and eagerness as I was led into shadow work, and then went on to do teacher training for 4 years, although I think you call it something else now, Brad, don't you?
Yes, it's called the Enhanced Self-Discovery Program.
Yes, okay. So, it's probably relevant to know, one of the commitments that I made was to open my heart chakra permanently and to live in the oneness, because I understood that by doing that, I could make more of a difference in the world. So I was very committed. And really became a bit of a squares fiend. I think I asked Victoria one day, could you do too many squares in a day? As I'd done 8 squares that day. And she said, nobody had ever asked her that question before. So I was on my path, went through some very intense processes and shadows along those years, through that journey in every area of my life. Financially, lost everything financially. My relationship split up, was completely heartbroken. Lost my home, my business, everything fell apart. And that's kind of when I started deeply the shadow work and started to understand why these things had occurred and more was yet to come. So on this side of the 10 years, I have to say it's been the most challenging 10 years of my life and the most incredible 10 years of my life as a journey of love. I remember Leslie saying that the journey of love is an incredible journey, and I committed to that, to really know divine love, to know that divinity within myself, and to be able to be live and express that fully, and support the heart opening in humanity, just to, you know, be myself within that. And so, little did I know, I think I was under some illusion that it's all light and wonderful. And in fact, you know, clearly then anything that isn't that comes to the surface as we go along. So after many intense shadow processes, the cancer really is probably one of the bone cancer is probably one of the deepest, darkest places I had to go to. So if there is anyone listening that's in, you know, deep shadow or at the bottom of that spiral, that negative spiral at the moment, then my heart goes to you. And perhaps I can share a gift that someone gave me when I'd just been diagnosed and told that, you know, I was facing death. There was no way that I was going to heal. And a friend from Corelight emailed me to say, Ali, you're ready for this process. And it jolted me out of the ego into my witness as a reminder that what if this was another process? Because at the time I was making it very real. When you've been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and the cancer was at that point, it taken me months to find out why my body was in so much pain and getting sicker. And by the time I was diagnosed, I was already walking on crutches. And the cancer was in every bone of my body, including my skull and my spine. So they wanted to give me, you know, oncologists wanted to give me radiation, chemotherapy, and a big jar of morphine for the pain. And I refused all of it. I listened very carefully to what they said, but I was listening with my body to see what was the way forward for my body, because at some level I knew that my body had created this, so my body will also know how to heal it, or the way forward. And I work with the mind, I work with the unconscious mind, that's my work. So I'm not prepared to take on the doctor's mindset. It's just a mindset, you know, in their experience with the cancer that I had, their patients, their average patient or would die. And that's what they were telling me. But I chose not to take that on because I know that they had very limited information. They don't work with the body holistically. And I knew that my journey is about looking at all aspects, the mental, the emotional, the physical, and the spiritual. You know, and they're really just looking at the physical and how to put a plaster over the problem that's there. So, you know, I just didn't take on their program. I believed it was possible to heal. And one of the best things I think that came to me, a guidance I had, was to set my intention to be more connected with my physical body. And I know Leslie had been telling us for some years now that, you know, the body is going to go through this ascension process as well. That wasn't even on my mind at the time. I had no thoughts about that. But definitely that commitment and intention to connect with my body has helped me through this whole journey in the past kind of three and a half years since I was diagnosed. So I did lots of research at the time to find the best way forward, and what resonated with me were, you know, and there's lots of things on cancer of how to heal. It's very overwhelming. And at that point, you know that, you know, any decision you make is going to help you die or help you live. So it's kind of very overwhelming in terms of any decision that you make. But I was very much guided to go for healing into Brazil, to John of God. So I went there for 3 weeks, and I went on crutches, had 3 spiritual interventions by the beings that work there, and came back in a wheelchair. And that was a big challenge. I think that was probably the darkest times to face that wheelchair. I remember looking at the wheelchair and thinking, now I'm really sick. This is losing my independence, which is a big pattern in my family, for myself, for my mother, for my grandmothers, in the female line especially, independence is a huge pattern. So I used to look at that wheelchair and I hated it. I really hated it because of what it represented. And I knew if I did that, that wasn't going to help. So I had to turn that around. So I decided to change my focus, change my mind, and I called it my well chair. And I looked at it from a different angle, that without that wheelchair, I wouldn't be able to have any mobility. I wouldn't be able to get around, because at that point I couldn't walk. I was in too much pain. So that kind of changed my focus. But I came back from John of God and then, you know, received so much love from friends and family that took care of me. I needed 24-hour care by that point. And, you know, we thought I'd be getting better, but I wasn't. I was actually getting worse. There was more pain in my body, less mobility. The bones were starting to fracture inside my body because they deteriorate from the cancer. And that's intensely painful. Apparently, bone cancer is one of the most painful cancers there are. I'd never had kind of pain in my body up until that point. I've always lived a very active. I was a big hiker, a runner, and very good with a healthy diet. I used to own a gym. So, you know, the activity was a big part of my life. And I was also guided to use cannabis oil and more natural healing. So I'd had breast cancer 6 years beforehand and learned a lot through that process. In this one, I literally did all the kind of mainstream natural things, like an alkaline diet, veggie juicing, natural supplements. I had vitamin C drips twice a week. It's a full-on healing protocol. And it does take discipline. I've realized on this side of healing, to heal naturally takes a lot of discipline in every one of those areas. You know, mentally, I knew I couldn't stay with the moment where I was. I had to keep focusing on where I wanted to be in the future, which was to go back to hiking and doing what I love, to be walking on the beach with friends with a backpack on a long day's walk and the sun shining on my face. So in my darkest moments, I would keep going back to that image, and that my body was healthy and I was fine. And, you know, it's not so easy when you're in intense pain as you were, Brad. I saw that groaning. I remember yelping with pain, and same thing, asking my care worker, how do you cope? Because it must sound awful to hear someone in so much pain. And I was very aware of that, Brad, when you were groaning, that I know how that feels when you're in that pain and you're expressing it, and the people around you can do nothing about it. You're in that process on your own, and they can't take that pain away. And the pain for me was just managing. It did keep me very present in the moment, to just focus on getting to the next moment from that pain. You know, I couldn't move in bed. I could only lie in one position on my back, and in the wheelchair, I was, you know, literally sitting the whole time for, you know, month after month. And that became extremely kind of wearing and painful. It would just take up most of my focus just to get through the day. So I was on a full-on healing protocol with lots of support, so many people praying for me in prayer circles. I was on the White Lion prayer circle. I was on the Core Light prayer circle. I have another spiritual teacher I studied with in the UK, and all my UK spiritual friends there were sending me love and blasts and prayers and energy, and I'm so grateful for all of that I received, because it also made a huge difference. And within a couple of months, I had to go for another scan or an x-ray. It was an x-ray which was about 3 or 4 months after the diagnosis, to see what was happening. And I really was optimistic that I could get through this, even though the pain was getting worse. I really believed it was possible to heal, and, you know, I was keeping my mind focused on the way forward. And I went for that x-ray, and with my friend Sandra, who was supporting me, and I literally took one look at that scan and that x-ray and realized that everything I was doing wasn't working. My whole hip bone was completely skewed. I'd lost 4 centimeters at the top of my left leg bone because it deteriorated so badly from the cancer, and the whole hip, the whole scan looked like gray pumice stone. It, you know, they weren't white bones anymore. There was so little healthy bone. It was just full of holes and there were cracks. I had a big crack in the hip bone and in my shoulder, and no wonder it was painful. But it was the first time when I saw that I realized, okay, I'm actually not going to come out of this. I really am dying. And my friend Sandra that was with me, the oncologist, went out of the room to kind of leave us with that. And she looked me in the eyes and said, "You are not your bones." And we went away from there, left, and she took me for lunch to kind of take both of our minds off it, really. And I had an interesting experience. We stopped at the petrol station to get petrol. She was driving the car and I couldn't move. I'm sat in the front seat, so, you know, I'm not able to move out of it because I'm not in the wheelchair. So, and stopped for petrol, and I had a very interesting experience with a snake as they opened the bonnet. There was a snake in the bonnet of my car, and all the guys who, they were filling up the water. In South Africa, they do your water and they change your oil and everything when you stop at the garage. And they all held that loose because they saw this snake and they had to get it out. And that was a very symbolic moment for me because I'm a Scorpio and I have four planets in Scorpio, including the sun and the moon. And the snake is very symbolic of death and rebirth. And I've also come to learn that I'm snake in Chinese and Native American medicine. So it's a very intense journey. I wouldn't wish this intensity on anybody. So my processes are very rarely light and easy. They're normally fairly intense. But that snake was very symbolic. Although I didn't pay attention too much, I was aware of it, but didn't really put too much on it at the time. And then I had a call booked with Leslie about a week later for us to chat, and she was supporting me and you were Brad through this process. And one of the first things she said on the call was, I have something to share with you. And there were two things she shared that I remember. There was probably quite a lot, but I kind of went into my head after she shared. So the first one she shared was that she said I was an angelic being. And I kind of said, well, you know, aren't we all, you know, we've all come from other planets. And she said, no, not at all. And then the second thing she shared was that her guides had asked her to tell me that I was preparing to leave the planet. And that was really quite hard to hear because I didn't believe the doctors. If they tell me that I'm preparing to leave the planet, I choose differently. But when Leslie said that, it confirmed the X-ray and my thoughts and feelings about what was happening. Despite all the radical disciplines I was doing, all the right things. And when someone like Leslie tells me that, you know, she's my teacher, she's an enlightened woman, I trust that, and I know that she has direct guidance, so I take that very seriously. So I came off the call, and I didn't tell anyone for quite some time because I didn't quite know what to do with that information. And I knew it wouldn't have been easy for her to tell that to me as well. And I sat with it, and the conclusion that I came to was a lesson that I'd had from the White Lions a year previously when I was on a retreat with Brad and Leslie up at Vlada in South Africa. And I was on my way to the White Lions before the retreat, and I had an issue with my physical heart. I've had lots of body issues, my body processes. And the one thing that I wanted to do was a book to see the lions didn't happen. I ended up in hospital with a heart issue. And I was so devastated and disappointed not to get to the lions. But I did get to the retreat afterwards. So at the retreat, we talked about it. And I was kind of like, well, why did the lions call me, you know, if I didn't get there? And I'm so disappointed. And Leslie looked me in the eye and had said, you are the lion. You are that cat. Whatever you thought they were going to give you is inside you. And when I questioned myself and said, well, what was it that I thought the lions were going to give me? I realized it was my enlightenment, my divinity. And this had been a year previously where we'd been on a retreat. So here I am now a year later, facing death fully in the eye with the confirmation from my spiritual teacher that I'm going to die. I'm going to leave my body and leave planet Earth. And I realized that if I take Leslie's word as full, then am I not doing the same thing as I was with the lions? So Leslie is God. She has a direct line, but I realized that so am I. I'm also God. I'm also a divine being. I may not be in the same place and have such a direct line, but if I'm God, then I accept that I'm going to die, but actually I choose to live. I choose to live. And that's what happened. I really did accept that I was very likely going to leave and die. And yet the only thing I changed was the food. I took out a protocol, which is a flax oil and cottage cheese. It's an amazing healing protocol, but I was literally struggling, gagging to eat it. And I thought, maybe my body doesn't actually want it now. So I'm just not, if I'm going to die, I really don't want to put things in my body that it doesn't want to eat. Whether it's going to, if it's not going to heal, I'm not forcing myself. And it was amazing because that was a turning point in my healing. I'd seen a very strong symbol of steps down. I kept seeing this image of steps going downwards, steps going down from the left to the right. And every time I was getting sicker and sicker. So no matter when people try and boost you to say that you're going to be fine, I could feel my body was getting sicker and sicker. And I think that phone call with Leslie and the x-ray were the bottom of that pit. I was at the bottom of that downward spiral, really at death's door, and knowing that, you know, this is really it. And I wasn't scared of death because I had already processed a lot of squares around death and the nuances of that when I had breast cancer and since afterwards that. So I didn't have any fear of death, interestingly, but I did have a deep sadness about leaving the planet and leaving my life as a body. And also it felt a bit of a waste. You know, I've done all this shadow work for 10 years or 9 years at that time. You know, I thought the new paradigm is here. Things are going to get more loving. So I'm going to miss the party. So I felt very sad at leaving. And I can see now when I look back that when in Leslie's book of the seven keys to ascension, there's a key for every chakra. And the key for the base chakra is I accept the death of my physical body and the immortality of my soul. And the key for the crown chakra is I accept my divinity. Well, when I look back, I realized that both those keys were in full alignment when I accepted that, both of those. I accepted my death and my divinity at the same time. And I think something realigned in my whole core. And I don't know the timing because I wasn't expecting it. It must have been within a week or 2 weeks. For the first time, I had a step up in my health. And where my left leg, I hadn't been able to move it, and I had to get my full-time carer to lift my leg off the bed to get into my wheelchair in the morning in intense pain. Even though, you know, in the end, I did succumb to painkillers. Nothing would take that pain, and I refused to have morphine because I knew that would help. You know, I kind of lose my will to live if I had that. So for the first time, I found myself being able to slide my leg off the bed by itself without help. And that was the first improvement, very small one, but a huge one. It's like that small step, you know, but for Ali, but huge step for my soul and my heart. And then little things began to change in the next kind of week, couple of weeks, where I used to sit in the shower and the care worker would hose me down and wash my hair. And, you know, you really face all your egoic, deepest stuff. You know, you have no pride left, no, when you've literally bare naked, you know, you have to be showered by someone else. You can't even get to the bathroom on your own. You know, it really shaves a lot of those egoic pieces off and puts you right down into humility. I guess that was part of the lessons and the learnings. And I had some deep shadow experiences with my care workers. I really struggled with having full-time care and people in my space. I'm a very private person, especially when it comes to my health. I'm kind of like a wild animal. I like to go in a cave and focus on healing and just come out the other side. But this was very, you know, everybody. I had to receive. I was not able to do anything for myself, and that also frustrated me. I didn't even have the energy to do squares or polarities, and I didn't even feel like doing any, actually, to be honest. It never resonated to do processing, but it did occur to me that having done so much shadow work over 9 years, how could I have missed something so big to create such a big process in my bones? And it really came to my awareness that actually what I was doing wasn't about Ali in this life. It was deep ancestral work, and that I was clearing a pattern in the male side of my family on my father's side further back that was created a very negative energy that went down the genealogy of my family. And as a soul, I was the one to say, I'm going to heal this and clear it for the lineage. But I didn't know that at the time. And I was very frustrated at feeling like I was a burden to everybody. I had nothing to contribute, and that I was just passing the time trying to get through the pain. And that was very frustrating. Whereas, you know, all the people involved in caring for me and looking after me have since told me, you know, the gifts that they've received from going through that process. And if you are in a chronic illness or facing something like that yourself, it does affect everyone around you very deeply, because we are all one. You know, everyone plays a role. And I was aware of that, that I happened to choose the role of the patient, and everybody who had a role had, on a soul level, had chosen their role. And there were many gifts for us throughout that process, but overall a deep, deep love, so much love between the people and friends and those that were supporting me, and some intense shadow. One of the care workers especially brought up past lives for me in Germany, and bullying, and just being out of control, and the deepest things that brought terror. I mean, I witnessed the terror. And the other thing that was very interesting was I had no guidance whatsoever. You know, up until that point, on my very conscious, on my spiritual path, and I would get a lot of guidance and awareness. And through this journey, I felt like, where did God go? You know, I trust like the footprints in the sand story that I was being held, but I thought it'd be nice to have a bit of guidance or awareness. Everything was about the physical body. And I'd since seen an image which kind of sums it up. I thought if I'd known that at the time, it would have been very helpful. And it's a beautiful image. I think it's a Native American saying that says, when the student is going through a test, the teacher is quiet. And that's hard. But I get now, you know, I understand it was really an initiation that I was going through to get me through to what I really asked for, which is to be in my open heart chakra permanently and to be in the ascension and oneness with my body, alive and well. And that had been my request to the entities in Brazil when I'd gone to the John of God. So bit by bit, I started to heal, and the steps were going up. I literally had that image now of steps going up as these, and how delicious that was. And I'd started getting sick around my 50th birthday when I first got sick. And this was a year later now. And on my 51st birthday, my friends had booked me as a surprise to go away to be placed by the sea, because I love the ocean. And I woke up on my 51st birthday with the word rebirth very clear in my mind. And I'd also was able to get out of the wheelchair and be back on crutches. So I knew I was healing. And that was surprising, but it felt beautiful. And it was an amazing experience of firsts. I was sharing this with you the other day, Brad, that deliciousness of life fully present when you've had it taken away and then you're given the chance to live it again. The first experiences were so beautiful, to be able to just walk out on my deck and make a drink, a cup of tea, and sit outside by myself was so delicious. I remember the first time I was able to drive my car. I could actually drive easier than I could walk. So I took my care work and we drove down to the beach. And I was like, a kid all the way there feeling such overwhelming gratitude to be able to move and drive my car. And then, you know, the first time I wanted to buy flowers for my friend and I could go into the shop and choose them myself and choose the things that my groceries. And yeah, literally a month after my birthday, I was able to sack the care workers because by now I could, you know, take care of myself again. I could cook my own food and I was mobile. So it was a very quick time, really. I mean, it felt like an eternity when I was in it, but you know, I was diagnosed in May. The call with Leslie and the x-ray, where everything was at its worst, was in August, and this was November when I handed the wheelchair back. So it was within 6 months, you know, that my body went from dying to healing. And it was an incredible journey. And from November, then Christmas came in December, and I started to just feel all these angels with me the whole time. And all I wanted to do was pick up feathers and paint. I started to paint again because I used to love art, and I just wanted to paint winged hearts. And so there was a lot of angelic energy that came through me. And Archangel Michael came in very clearly and was guiding my journey. And for 3 months, I went into the oneness. I didn't know that's what it was at the time, but I've since discovered that's what it was. It was incredibly beautiful. It was also very overwhelming because I could feel everything. I was connected with everything, and everything would talk to me. Like crystals would want to be put here, and plants would talk to me, and I would be making a lot of altars. And I, you know, at one point I wondered if I was going mad. I was channeling a lot of beings too. You know, I could hear Jesus, I could hear Mary Magdalene, I could hear and be. I became them. It's like I could. They weren't separate from me. They were coming through me, but it's like they were me. And there was a lot of. I worked. The white lions are big guides for me, and they were coming through me a lot and asking me to do certain processes, which would often be at night. I wasn't sleep in that 3 month period when I was in the oneness. I needed very little sleep and very little food. I was just kind of on this energy. And the creativity was just off the scale. I mean, I found myself just wanting to be creative. I'd be making candles, making soaps. I'd be painting. I would be writing. I'd be making sculptures in the sand on the beach. I mean, now my body was getting really well. So I was getting strength back and I could walk again. And really, you know, I really was. You'd never know that I'd been sick at this point. And I realized I'd gone into a much higher vibration where I didn't even feel pain in my body anymore. And that lasted for 3 months. And then I started to feel a bit of pain in my body. And I realized I'd just come out of that vibration, came back more into a bit more, not such a high vibration, and on the more surface of that oneness. It stayed with me, but it was kind of like I was in the shallows. And I just carried on healing, carried on eating the right things, you know, and carried on with everything that I was doing. Although I relaxed then my discipline of the cannabis oil and the vitamin C, so just slowed it down and did less and took a more maintenance dose. And I'd started to relax my diet a little bit. And later in the year, I went through another intense process where my mum got very sick, and she's in the UK. I had a call from my brothers to say that her bowel had been ruptured. She was 92 at the time, and they said she wouldn't make it through the night, the doctor had said. So I was well enough now to be able to jump on a plane and get there. And I had the most incredible experience with my mum. She didn't pass in that night. She stayed in her body for another 11 days. And I sat in meditation with her for 6 or 7 hours a day in the hospital. She wasn't speaking. She would be almost like sleeping. She never opened her eyes. She saw me when I arrived, and then after that, her eyes were closed the whole time. And I sat with her in meditation, not knowing consciously how to help, but knowing that a whole nother level, I opened my heart and just prayed to support her and offered my soul in a way that whatever would support her journey of transitioning from her body. And she was a hoarder, so you know, I came to learn that she was holding on to a body. She wasn't ready to let go of her body, and that was the kind of process I had to work with to support her to let it go. And from the moment she died, I went into this initiation with the Divine Mother and the Divine Feminine, which was exquisitely beautiful. And I was being guided from lifetime in Egypt, where I found myself in the British Museum in London 4 days before her funeral, being shown how to bury the dead. Too much happened that I can hardly even put into words, but it was an initiation with that Divine Mother in the oneness again and it lasted again for another 3 months. I had some profound experiences. I went to Avebury Stone Circle, which is very close to where my mum's house was, just after she passed. And I had an experience with crystal skulls where I've never been interested in skulls, but they called me and I've ended up coming back to South Africa with 13 crystal skulls. and really an incredible journey into that oneness. Again, very overwhelming. I found a deep connection with Archangel Michael, who was guiding my process, and just trying to get normal things done like washing and having a bath were intensely frustrating because I'd run my bath at 6 a.m. and be so busy with the detail of the oneness that it was hard. And again, any parts of, I look back, I didn't know what was happening at the time. Some of it would be very scary and almost like I'd think there was this low vibration energy coming through me, channeling through me. I was channeling a lot of beings, but not really knowing how to deal with that because I hadn't really experienced it much before. And I thought, negative entities were coming in, or what I've since discovered, it was my ego. And when you're at that high vibration, your body processes everything so much faster. And that includes shadow pieces and fears that are still there. So it was really my ego that was presenting these demons. And the ego is terrified of that death. So it will do anything to prevent you from going there. Which is why we fear the death. It's the ego that fears the death because it believes it's the end. Whereas, of course, I'm sure most people on this call know that it's just a transition out of density of the physical body. And so, I then carried on, kind of came out of that oneness, and this was at the beginning of last year, I just began to carry on with my life and healing, staying with my journey, and realizing that, okay, something new is about to happen. And I sort of was wondering and surrendered to spirit to say, you show me, how I can serve and what is my gift that I can share. And I kind of thought I was ready to do something. I felt ready. And then I started to get back pain. So this is about a year and a half after I healed. I started to get back pain. And there's only kind of one reason why I would have got that pain, and it took a couple of months to get a scan, which showed that the cancer was back. And it was now in my lumbar spine, the L2, which is the lower back, and the fracture was so splintered, the bone was so bad that it was deep risk of, if it splintered anymore, hitting the spinal cord, and then I would have been paralyzed. And again, that was my deepest fear. That was my darkest end of the spiral, not dying, but for a very independent person, an active person, to be in a wheelchair, be paralyzed, was my worst nightmare. So this time, though, I had a witness, and I witnessed the shock of all that. Here we go again, the painful death, the relying on other people, not able to do anything for myself. I watched my ego go right down and witnessed it and saw the trauma of the first diagnosis being released because I had a very strong witness now. And I was in a higher vibration. And this started last July when I got the back pain, and I had the scan in about September was the earliest I got the actual CT scan, which showed more detail. And I was clearly guided this time, very clear guidance all the way through. It's been a whole different journey, where my guidance has been very clear, and I was guided to do radiation, which surprised me because, I'm not really into chemical treatments. I knew I would have died if I'd had that before, and certainly it never made sense for me to have chemotherapy because I know the body is, if it's so compromised, I want to support the body, not give it more poison, and it's got to deal with, the immune system has to deal with that. But this time I was guided to do radiation, and that felt absolutely right. It surprised me, but I knew it was right, so I followed it. And it was right, because I needed something to harden the bone very quickly to prevent any further splintering. And it wasn't easy. With the radiation was 5 days. It made me very nauseous, but I made it through and had miracles from the entities from John of God working directly with me through my neighbors that happened to be there, and had a lot of healing through them. So I know it's very interesting what's happened with John of God recently. I was very shocked when I heard the news that he has been, accused of sexual abuse. And I realized that the entities that work through him can work without him. And I have nothing but compassion for both him and all the women involved, because it also made me realize that you can be a very evolved spiritual teacher, but if you don't heal your shadow, that's going to come to the surface in this new paradigm that we live in. So just because he's a spiritual teacher doesn't mean he doesn't have shadow. And just because he may, and we don't know for sure, may have abused women doesn't mean that the healings didn't happen. So I have compassion for all the women involved, and for Medium Joao himself, because I received great healing through that vibration of the cast and through his work. And I'm very grateful for that. So it's been a very different process. This time I was guided that it was a part two of stage two of a two-stage process. And I've learned more. And the guidance I had this time was, it's not about healing from cancer. My focus has not been about, anti-cancer diet, healing from cancer. I haven't even thought about cancer, actually. I was guided, this is about raising your frequency. This is all about raising your frequency. And it's about raising the frequency of my physical body so that it can go through this ascension alive and well, because that's what I asked for. Because we ascend when we die, but then we leave the body. And I believe that this is about ascending with the body alive and well. And I did say, I would like to be physically well and active. If I am to be paralyzed, that would not be fun for me. I'd prefer not to be here, and I would probably choose to leave the planet if that were the case. And again, this process is about ancestors. I've asked what this was about. Got clear guidance that I'm working with ancestors up to 49 generations backwards on both sides of my family, the male and the female side. And it also, for all of us, when we're healing, we are affecting ancestors behind us, but also future generations, generally up to about 10 generations forward. And that's a lot of souls. That did make me feel better about, I'm not just sitting healing, doing nothing. It's healing other souls as well, who are in the other side of the veil. So that made me feel that at least I am contributing in some way while I'm going through this process. And so I got very disciplined. The guidance I received was to do work with my colon. And I learned a lot more about the gut bacteria in the colon and coffee enemas. I couldn't do coffee enemas when I was in the wheelchair because I couldn't even get on the bathroom floor, let alone get up in time to get to the loo. So this time I've been doing enemas since last September daily, one a day, and then bumped into, coincidentally, a friend who's a specialist on enemas, and she guided me to do probiotic implants, which is to literally put positive bacteria but directly back into the colon. And you do it via enema. So I do it with either kefir. I use a goat's milk kefir that I mix with water and put into an enema bag, and then do an enema to implant it directly into the colon, or probiotic liquid. And again, I knew this is about raising my frequency. This is all about, the gut is such a fundamental part of our health. You have a healthy gut, you have a healthy body. So, and I'm doing that because I know it's raising my vibration and it's boosting my immune system. It's helping my white blood cells, and it will be a way of the future, I really believe, to support health on a much more individual basis than the current health system, which is not about health at all. It's actually all about money, and it's about keeping people sick so that, you know, we have to pay for medication. I really hold space for holistic healing, and that all our bodies are different, and the gut bacteria actually show us exactly, based on our lifestyle, based on our food, based on our the way we think. You know, the mind is a huge part of this process too, and I have a very strong mind. That's a huge part of the healing that was very important as well. But literally, by grace of God, is the ultimate, you know, it's grace that gives us the breath and, you know, our beingness here in the physical body is a huge gift that we have. And we have more power to make change being in a physical body. The beings on the other side, the invisible realms, need us on the ground. We're the ground control here, and they need people in bodies to support this shift on the planet. So I was getting a lot of guidance, and it's been so much easier this time with the clear guidance of, you know, what to do, what to eat, even what colors to wear. I'm guided certain vibrations of colors. I'll wake up in the morning, look at my wardrobe, and a certain color will stand out, and I'll just check in and go, yep, that's the color that I need to wear today. In fact, when I went for the radiation, I knew the color that I needed to wear. Even the food had to match that color. And then when I get to the treatment room where the radiation was, they put a new sheet on the over the bed each day to lie on where they do the radiation. And I found it very interesting that each day the sheet they put on was the same color as the color that I was wearing. You know, it was already there. So it's kind of
amazing.
Intervened. Yeah, it was magical. And so this journey has felt much more magical, you know, than the first time where it was, I felt like I'd been disconnected, you know, and just dealing with the body on my own. Although I know I wasn't, there were angels supporting me a lot, but I didn't feel it at the time. So even though you may not feel you're being supported, it is like that footprints on the sand. You know, you may not be receiving guidance because this is a test for you to work through it and know that you are so being held by those loving beings on the other side. They so want us to ascend and be with our body and carry this vibration because it's so needed on the planet. You know, there are all sorts of invisible realms that are supporting this ascension of the planet. And you may feel that you are alone, that you don't have your connection, you don't have your guidance. You know, that it may be because you're dealing with the density of the body, and the physical body is the most dense part of us. So I've fallen in love. The second part for me has been a falling in love with my body, with my physical body. It's taken me 50 years. I'm a bit slow on the uptake. But I love my body so much. I truly want to help it through this ascension. And every day that's my intention. You know, I wake up and say, so it's my intention to support my body today. How can I love you? How can I support you? What do you want to eat? You know, and I realized that's why the gift of setting that intention to connect with my physical body was a gift. And it, you know, it took a year for me to start getting feedback from my body, but now I get that very clearly. So, you know, like anything, you set that commitment, it may not happen immediately, but it does happen. We get what we ask for, and I'm very grateful for that. I'm in this love affair with my physical body. We're having a ball together. We're eating. I've always loved food and love cooking and making high vibrational meals. And I only choose to eat high vibrational food. You know, now I still have juices, and you know, it's, but I'm doing it because it's shifted something for me. Because when I thought I had to eat that way to heal from cancer, it's kind of like, am I never going to be able to have a glass of wine for the rest of my life because I might get cancer? But I'm not doing it from that place, because that would be fear. I'm doing it because the ascension to me is more important than anything else. So why would I put anything in my body that's going to lower my vibration? And that's the guidance I received. When I asked, why has this happened? You know, I went through that death experience. So why did I create cancer again? You know, I thought I got the lesson. And the guidance I got was, you know, the guidance I got was that I had reached a very high vibration and I was supposed to maintain it. And then I relaxed my disciplines. And as a result, that lowered my frequency, not to the level that it was before, but it lowered it. And I have chosen cancer in this life as a coach because it forces me to be disciplined, apparently. one hell of a I'm sure I'm not the only one on this call who sometimes look at your soul contracts and go, well, WTF, why did I choose that? But I know that's
true. I'm sure nobody can relate to.
Sorry, Brad, say again.
I was just being sarcastic. I said, no, I'm sure nobody can relate to that.
Yeah, it'd be interesting if we can go back to that point of the soul contract. Because the other thing I realized is, you know, when we sign that soul contract prior to coming in, we're in the oneness. So we're really fearless and we go, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this. And I'm sure the beings that help us go, now, are you sure? Why don't we take that one out and that one out? Because, you know, we're in the oneness and we're fearless at that point and we think we can do everything. And we come into the human body and, of course, now we're in duality and it doesn't look the same at all. And I honestly have gone back going, why did I choose these things? But I know that I'm getting what I asked for. And my back, I had the follow-up CT scan in January this year, just last month, and it shows me now that bone has healed and is healing very nicely. But at the same time, I had pain in my arm, which was a new pain, and that indicated new cancer growth. And again, took me down the downward spiral. So I'm learning in this different frequency I'm in that it doesn't mean I don't go down the spiral. What happens is I go down there and then I'll cry or, you know, feel that pain, but I come out very quickly because my witness is strong. So, and I now know I'm in a higher frequency because I notice when my ego goes back into that old third dimension and I watch my mind racing and planning my funeral and, you know, who I'm going to give what in my will and all the pain. And, you know, my ego will race and I watch it and just go, gee, you know, then I know I'm back in the ego because it doesn't feel good. You know, we know we're in ego when we're in, it just doesn't feel good. When you're really aligned with spirit, even if I was facing death from that place in my higher frequency, I can even face death and it feels fine. It's peaceful. It's an accepting process. So every day now I'm living more in this vibration of just acceptance and peace. And this deep gratitude and this huge creativity is still with me. That really hasn't changed. It's just not necessary at 3 o'clock in the morning. I do get to have a bit more sleep. It was another test, I think, with my arm that I had to stay with the faith that things often get worse, like renovating a house before they get better. And it was, do I really trust these putting in these new positive bacteria in my gut? Because that's a new protocol I didn't do last time. And I decided just stay with it, stay with it, stay with it. And already in the last 3 weeks, my arm is, I can feel the steps going up again. It's healing and I'm getting better. And I'm coming through the other side of this journey. And I will not do anything to compromise my frequency, not with my thoughts, not with my food, not with the people that I spend time with. You know, I am committed to my ascension, to support that ascension of humanity. And I just know from the taste that I had of being in the one, the most exquisite. There is beauty and love in everything. There's magic and miracles happen wherever I go. It's exquisitely beautiful. And it is a whole different world. It's nothing like the old three-dimensional world that I used to live in. You know, it doesn't even look anywhere near the same. It's beautiful. It's loving. It's almost like you touch that in everyone around you and everyone connects with you in a loving way. It's exquisite. It's beautiful. So I'm not out of the woods yet. I'm still on the journey. And I keep my mind focused. But I'm also knowing that there is a bigger plan and I trust that. And know that whatever's to come will be beautiful. You know, I don't think I'm leaving the planet yet, but again, if I was, then that's okay too.
Wow. Allie, thank you so much for your inspiration. What a gift to have you speak with us today. I invited you because I'm deeply moved by your story, and I know everybody on the call has been. You have so much to offer this world. I'm so glad that you chose to stay and that you can share with us this amazing journey that you're on. I have a feeling there are going to be some questions. So are you okay if we open up to questions at this point, sharing?
Sure.
Okay. So I'd like to invite everybody, if Barbara will tell us how to raise your hand again. And I would just invite you to ask questions of Ali or share. And we don't have a lot of time left, so if you could say everything you want to say, but just be as concise as possible. Thank you so much.
Wonderful. Thank you, Ali. So wonderful to be with you again and to have you share your journey and to bring us all under your umbrella of angelic light and the white lions. It's just been exquisitely beautiful, Ali. Thank you so, so much for, shedding and sharing your light with all of us. Just exquisite, Ali. For those of you who might have a question, it's star 2 to raise your hand if you'd like to ask Ali a question or if you'd like to share a comment. I'll check on the Q&A as well. So, so good to be with you, Ali.
Oh, Barbara, well, bless you. You were one of the people that supported me, and there are others in Core Light who prayed for me. So I thank you, Brad, Leslie, and all those in Core Light that supported me and still support me on my journey. God bless you, because, it's a team effort here. I couldn't have done it without all the support I received.
Yes.
We all play a different role.
Yes. And that it continues, and that, your exploration and your willingness to be so fully present is really allowing such a teaching for each and every one of us. And we have a hand raised, and it's Linda. Linda, you have the mic.
Thank you. This is starting out as a comment. I'm just amazed at how on point everything that was said on the call so far is for me right now, because I'm approaching my 80th birthday on April 15th. I will be 80 years old, and I am feeling a lot of the pains associated with age, and recently a lot of leg pain and things like that. And in the last call, everyone sounded so upbeat and just glowing, radiating growth that I didn't feel like I was necessarily making. And I've had a hard time sort of trying to hold my own spiritual practice. And so thank you, Allie, and thank you, Brad, and thank you all for sharing such stuff with me. I really needed to hear it today.
Thank you, Linda. God bless you. And happy birthday.
Yeah.
Well, I'll take it starting now.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I'm not sure how many of the Core Light things I'm going to be able to do this year. I'd certainly like to do the ones in Portland. And I still am hoping that it's not too late to make the financial and other arrangements work for going to on the trip to Crete, but I don't know yet. So,
God bless you, Linda. We'll hold
with that.
Yeah, we'll hold you in the light, and you'll be shown. You'll be shown exactly what to do.
Thank you. I believe it more now than I did when the call started.
Oh, good.
And I'm just hearing as Linda is sharing, and as Ali so beautifully shared, the first key and the seventh key from Leslie's returning to oneness, the accepting body and the immortality of the soul and accepting our divinity, where there's a precipice that we're all hanging on right now that is shifting us into this much more conscious awareness. And with Allie's sharing of her journey, it has really taken me and my senses, taken all of us to that precipice. And it,
wow.
Yeah, it's really exquisitely beautiful to rest there.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Barbara, what you say reminds me to say, you know, what Allie's journey, hearing that story, what it does for me is it gives me a perspective to, you know, feel grateful for what I have. And when I go through extreme pain of the flu, I'm sure, you know, it seems really, really bad to me in the moment, but it doesn't compare to what Allie went through. So everything's relative, right? And we can always feel extremely grateful for that which we do have.
Yes. Yes.
Am I still on? Oh, I just wanted
yes.
to,
yes.
I wanted to just add the gratefulness business. Just as I was getting ready to make this phone call, I was thinking I'm in such a black mood. What should I do to be ready for this? And then all of a sudden, I just heard inside somehow gratitude. That's how. What are you grateful for, Linda?
Yeah,
and all these things started flooding in, and I was ready for the call. So,
there you go. Beautiful.
Beautiful.
It works.
It does.
In the Al-Anon meetings, keep coming back. It works. Well,
that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Good to hear you laughing too, Linda. Wonderful.
Thanks, Will. Good to be laughing.
Yes. Okay.
I think actually laughter, Linda, is such a great antidote to shadow. You know, when I've had some of the deepest, darkest shadow, it will be, I'll turn to Monty Python or, you know, and death. For me, I always go to the Monty Python at the end scene of where they're all on the cross and singing, always look on the bright side of life, because it helps lighten up. You know, not take death as,
yep, that's it.
Yeah. I'll have to try that.
I can highly recommend.
Thank you, everyone, so much.
Beautiful. Thank you, Linda. We have another hand raised, and that is Carol. Carol, you have the mic.
Hi. Oh, Allie, it's so good to hear your voice. I agree with everything that's been said. And we met in South Africa at a student conference at Leslie's before our cancer stuff started. And I've been privileged to watch this process, you know, from a distance. Every now and then we'd have a check-in and we'd hear what was going on with you and pray like crazy. And I just want to say how much I love and honor you. And I'm so grateful that you shared this with us today. Thank you. Mm. Thank you. I would love to give you a big hug and a kiss.
I'm totally receiving your love and your hug and a kiss, and I'm sending one right back. And bless you, Carol. I love you too. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your love and your support at a distance.
Always.
I so appreciate it.
So I'm looking on the web. I don't see any comments on the web if anybody's wanting to share or say something. I'm checking there. And that was the last hand raised, Brad.
I've just thought of something,
okay.
Barbara, I should perhaps mention. Can I,
yes,
can I just
Allie.
Mention something? That
Please.
People may have a question about,
yep.
Well, why was Leslie Why did Leslie tell me that I was going to die? Why did her guides tell her that? Because I wondered that.
Yes.
Okay, so Archangel Michael tells Leslie to tell me that I'm going to die. So what was that all about? You know, am I going to die another way? You know, when this came up the second time, I thought, well, maybe that is going to happen, and now I'm going to die. So what Leslie told me last year when I came up to visit you and Leslie Brad up in Bladder was that when we had a phone call, that was the guidance she was given, and she gave it to me. But when she put the phone down, she had another awareness that wasn't quite true, that she wasn't.
Oops.
And I didn't know
Allie,
that.
Allie, we lost you there.
Oh, you broke up, Allie. Say that again.
Okay, shall I say it again?
Yeah, please, say it again.
Okay. So when I asked Leslie, why were you guided to tell me I was going to die? She said, when she put the phone down from the call of telling me that, you know, her guide had said I was, she had another awareness after she put the phone down, and that was that it wasn't necessarily true. That information wasn't necessarily true. And even at the time, I remember saying something to you, Brad, is this like the Oracle, you know, in the Matrix? You know, you kind of get what you need to hear, you know, where Neo was told that he wasn't the one.
Yes.
And so I was told that I had to die. And Leslie was told she wasn't allowed to tell me that, you know, it might not be true. I had to hear that. And I guess that was the whole point for me to stand in my power and not take anyone else's decision about when I was going to die other than my own. That was the test. I'm guessing that's what was happening. It was.
I would say absolutely. You and I talked about this before, and I've spoken about this same principle on these calls a number of times, and that really all ever since the very beginning of her teaching, Leslie was always telling all of us, don't project your spiritual power onto me. Take your spiritual power back. Step into your own spiritual authority. And we would all say, oh, yeah, of course, we'll do that. Of course, we never could. So, you know, because when there's this beautiful, luminous, enlightened being, of course you're going to be, you know, projecting your power onto that person. It's just natural. So what's happening now, since Leslie has taken on a new role and stepped back from teaching in the same way as she was before, this is the lesson that we cannot be projecting our spiritual power and authority onto her anymore. We have to take it back. And I feel like that's exactly the process that you went through with her saying that. It was like throwing you in the deep end, you know, it's do or die, really.
Literally.
But you got it. And it came through.
Literally, yes.
Yeah. So thanks for bringing that up. That's a very, very important point.
And that we have free will, free choice.
Yeah.
That there is no definitive answer other than what is within. Very, very, very powerful. I'm glad you brought that up, Allie. Yes.
Yeah, I understand that we have exit points where we can choose to leave. You know, that was also a possibility.
Yes.
I could have accepted that, and I would have probably died. You know, I would have left my body.
Yes.
Or at any point, I could have chosen. And same this time, I was aware of that this time as well. It's that, you know, every decision I make is helping my body or, you know, to stay or to. So it is a choice. We have a lot more choice than we realize, and a lot more power and potential than.
Yes, and just to hear you sharing how much you love your body just touches me so deeply. It's so deeply moving, you know, that there's so much societal pressure on all of us about our physical bodies and what that means, and so much judgment and criticism, and just to hear you saying, you know, how much you love your body just moves me so deeply.
Well, it's an ongoing process, I think, Barbara, as well. You know, I continue to process the things that come up. And obviously there are things because I'm working with my body and very closely now. So, you know, I continue to process the pieces of duality that are still.
Beautiful. Beautiful, Allie. And we've got another hand raised, and that's Mary. Mary, you have the mic.
Can you hear me, Barbara? I was maybe muted on my end at first.
Yep.
Okay.
Here you are.
So, Allie, one other thought. It was so amazing, and I'm so grateful. But the part that's interesting, I wanted just to another permutation, perhaps, of the piece with Leslie, that phone call, because I was listening very carefully to the words you used. And what you said was, Leslie told me I had to prepare for my death. And that, to me, seemed really significant because, again, it doesn't mean that you were going to die. And that's, in effect, what it seems like you've been doing is surrendering and preparing and preparing. So that was just another thought about the conversation with Leslie. But what you said was so powerful. And I agree with Barbara, especially the parts about the body and what the body needs. It felt very transformative to me. And thank you so much.
Actually, you've just sparked something around that makes me, you know, there is a saying that says we have to die before.
Say that again, Allie. We have to die before.
We have to die before we die.
Right. And it seems like you were saying yes to that piece and transforming, you know.
Yes. And Leslie told us many years ago that the last body to awaken would be the physical body. And that's what you're sharing, is coming into the physical body that you could have chosen to leave, and that you chose to stay and fully awaken within the physical body.
Well, there are so many programs around the body, aren't there? You know, the society programs, the way we should look, the way we should, what we should eat, you know, and everything is set up against the body, really. It's kind of an uphill process. But it's, my journey was kind of radical. I don't think it has to be that radical for everybody. I think it can be much easier, you know, and I thought I did love my body, but there's been traumas in my life where I disconnected and I didn't even. So by setting that intention, allowed the things that needed to come to the surface to come to the surface. So that's, I think we're all on that journey of allowing the body to be part of this journey with us. I think we're all there, because for me, it's a microcosm of the macrocosm. You know, for my journey with my body is the same as my journey with Mother Earth. She's our physical body as you know, mankind's body. So as we learn to love the earth and take care of the earth and nature and animals, we learn to love and learn to love our body. It's one and the same. We're really learning to nurture, care, love, and respect that.
Beautiful.
And listen to it. And to really listen to it, because it has an intelligence. It really is intelligence. My body, during the radiation, took me out for lunch every day. It said, right, I want to go here, we want to go there. And it took me to my favorite restaurants. Apart from Wednesday, the middle day, I was so nauseous, he said, we're going straight home. But I ended up having beautiful food that was exactly what my body needed. And on the day I was wearing gray, it was charcoal color, I was guided to go to this beautiful baker. And again, it doesn't make sense to eat bread if you have cancer because it's gluten, but I was guided, go to the baker, get his sourdough bread and go to your friends and charcoal it over the grill. So it's charcoal. So I had to even eat kind of charcoal. And then I discovered that's hugely good. Sourdough bread and charcoal is particularly good for the bacteria in the colon, you know, afterwards.
Interesting.
So it's fun.
Wow.
It's like this romantic, lovely relationship.
Yes.
Wined and dined by my body.
Beautiful, Allie. There, Mary, are you complete? Did you want to say something more?
Yeah, no, I am. And the only thing is, Allie, if there's anything else to say about cultivating and nurturing and delighting in that relationship with the body, because that feels very powerful to me.
I think the biggest key is to set that intention, make that commitment. You know, to everybody can do that, is to make, I really feel that was the biggest gift I gave myself, is to make that intention or commitment to connect with your own body. And anybody I work with now, I'd say that's the biggest part of healing, because your body created this from your unconscious for whatever reason. There's so many reasons people would create any kind of dis-ease, and that doesn't have to be a chronic disease. The body has the answer of how to solve it, and that divinity within you works with that. So just set the intention to connect with your body, or to fall in love with your body and listen to it, so that you can receive its guidance to go through this ascension process. And I, the other part I think is about focusing on raising the frequency. You know, my focus is that frequency. It's not about the logical things that would be right for cancer, although that kind of happens. But it's things like life force energy food, you know, plant-based diet where you've got fruits and vegetables that are full of life force energy, not dead food that's in packets, fabricated, you know, that not, all of that's dead food. It's the life force in food that gives us energy. And that can include meat. You know, I have meat as well, because I sometimes I'm guided a certain animal supports my body because I'm taking in the energy of that animal. But I just make sure if it's meat, it's high vibrational, it's organic, it's grass fed, you know, it's wild, it's good quality, happy meat that's been cared for, not butchered in the terrible system that we have of, you know, that it feeds. It's focusing on that, you know, as much as I, sorry, my cat, I don't know if you can hear my cat now, she just wants to get out.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we can hear her.
She's got a lot to say. She's agreeing, yes.
She is a big part of my healing. She became a white lion.
Yes.
She overlicked her fur all the time I was sick, and really had this big fluffy mane and tail, and she even looked like a white lion, and I knew the lions were coming through her. And she was helping Brad when Brad was really sick. Bless, she went and curled up at his feet to help him as well. She's an amazing. So if you have animals, you know, is to acknowledge them as well, because they're already in that fifth dimension. So they're so patient and compassionate with us. They are a great support, and to acknowledge them, even if you don't realize it, for all the work that they're doing, because that's one of the agreements they've had, is to come in and support us in this ascension process. So they really are.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Did that answer your question?
It did. It was perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mary.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for asking.
There's a comment on the web, and I just want to acknowledge it. Allie, you've already really answered it. It's from Christy, and she said, if you were to share two key learnings from this, what might they be? And I think you've just... You know, interesting in your share, you even said the key to your understanding. So I feel like you've read, but I just wanted to, spoken to that, but I just wanted to acknowledge Christy. And we have one more hand raised, and that's Jane. And Jane, you have the mic.
The discussion that we've been having for the last 15 minutes is so central. So central to what I'm going through right now, that I would like to find a way to continue the discussion, because I feel like I really need the information and the support. Maybe we could do squares with it, or maybe there's some other way to continue it. That's all I wanted to say right now, because it's late.
Yeah, beautiful, Jane. Yes, very important.
Well, thank you, Jane. Let me propose I put you and Allie in touch with each other, and then that's one way you can talk more with Allie about this. And then also your idea of doing the squares on the next squares call would be good as well.
Yes, I love that. And I agree, Jane.
And that would be great, Brad. I'm more than happy to talk with anybody if they want to, you know, hear more or ask, or I can support in any way. I'm more than happy.
So let me say this for anybody on the call. If you'd like to be in touch with Ali and learn more about her wisdom, if she can help you, if you think she can help you, let me know. Send me an email and I'll reply to everybody with Ali's contact details. And you know how to reach me, brad@corelight.org.
Wonderful. Thank you for that suggestion, Jane.
Thank you, Jane.
Okay, so that's all the hands, Brad, and I think we're good on the web as well.
Okay, great. Well, it's perfect timing because that's the end of our call. So once again, I would just like to say, Ali, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. And I know everybody on the call has been very inspired, and we're deeply, deeply grateful to you.
Thank you, Brad. And again, deep bow to both you and Leslie, because without the tools and things, I don't know how I'd have got myself into this mess, but I certainly don't know that I would have been able to come out the other side still smiling. So deep bow to both you and Leslie for the incredible love and generosity and kindness that you share with me and everyone to do this work. It, you know, there are times we really need someone to help us being a witness, and you were always there for me. So.
Well, I always will be too. If you ever need that again, let me know.
I hope it's going to be good news. The more positive.
Yeah.
You get to share the fun.
Yeah, well, I have my feeling now is that you'll be the one to be there for other people with a witness, because you've been through your trial by fire, and now it's your time to offer your gifts. So I just see you have so much to offer the world.
Thank you. Well, I'm completely surrendered, and I'm asking, you know, for whatever that is, I'm willing to show up. That's normally what I do. I just show up, and then spirit guides me to the right place, people, things. So I have absolute faith in that. And that's
wonderful. All right. Before we close off on the call, I'd like to end with just a 2-minute prayer before we end. But before we do, Barbara, is there anything else that you'd like to say?
No, it's just been really wonderful. It's been an honor, and thank you so much, Ali, for sharing with all of us and holding the light and taking us on such an incredible journey. So we're just very deeply, deeply grateful. Look forward to hearing many more.
Thank you, Barbara. Thank you to you and to everyone for allowing me to share and for listening. Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. It's such
Thanks,
a gift.
Brad. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you both. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you, Ali. And thank you, everybody. So let's all now close our eyes and say our final prayer. So let's begin with a few long, deep breaths. Breathing in the light. Breathing out any stress or tension that you might be feeling. Breathing in deep love and relaxation. And breathing out any shadow. Breathing in the present moment. Breathing out any worries about past or future. We call on the Great Spirit, Divine Mother, Father God, self that we all are. We give such great thanks for this opportunity to have been together today, share our love, share our hearts, share this time. We're so deeply grateful for these beautiful, beautiful bodies that we wear for a few short years on this beautiful, beautiful planet that we call home. Thank you for all the gifts. Thank you for bringing us together in community, for the love that we share. Thank you for a strong witness, even during challenging times, during this time of such extreme acceleration and change, when things are very difficult. And we pray for strengthened witness all the time. May the witness grow ever stronger as the changes continue to accelerate. We're so deeply, deeply grateful to be alive in these bodies at this extraordinary time, at this pivotal moment in human evolution, as we're just about to launch into this new paradigm of the heart. What a remarkable, auspicious time for us to be alive and to be able to evolve and grow and share our gifts with the world. Help us to hold this space so that we can live in joy and live in love and serve the world in the highest way, with deepest, deepest gratitude. Amen. So I invite you now, if you want to stay in a meditation for a few more moments as we sign off on the call. I know Leslie and I will be continuing to hold space for a little while, so please join us inwardly if you'd like to. And just know that we send all our love and blessings and look forward to meeting you again in a month. All my love. Thank you so much for today. And once again, a deep, deep thank you, a deep bow to Allie for the gift of your sharing today. Bye for now, everybody.